on page Vav Amid Aleph, four lines from the end of the page. The Gemara was discussing before about din versus compromise. So Rabbi Meir said compromise also in these three. Chachamim said pshara, meaning compromise, one's enough. Then the Gemara said no, everybody holds din and b'shleisha. The question, do we like him pshara to din? Bottom line is, the argument is, to make a compromise, is one judge enough or do you need three judges? Amar Rav Ashi, Vav Amar Aleph, four lines from the end of the page. Or 682. Okay, Amar Rav Ashi said, Shema mina, from this din of Rav Meir, we learn, Pshara in a tzricha kinyan. Pshara does not need a kinyan to make it valid. In other words, like this, normally, in order for both sides to accept the decision, they have to make a kinyan. Make a kinyan means I'm binding myself legally to what the decision is. So Rav Ashi says, the fact that Rav Meir said that pshara is need three, he says, you don't need a kinyan to make that happen. But they bind themselves even without it. Okay, why? Because the Isal Kedayt of Tzricha Kinyan, if you hold that a pshara needs a kinyan, Laman the Yom Tzricha Tlos Tzricha. According to the opinion that says that three judges is enough, if you hold you need to make a kinyan to bind yourself, why do you need three? Tiz gebitre, let two judges make a kinyan from the litigant. Meaning like this. Rav Ashi says, Vav Amid Aleph.
On the bottom?
Closer to the bottom, yeah. Rav Ashi says, Rav Meir says you need three judges to do a compromise. He said, if it needs a kinyan, if you need to bind yourself to it, then two should be enough to be witnesses that the guy made a kinyan. Why do you need three? In other words, the question is like this. To validate a din Torah, three is enough. You don't need a kinyan. Because that's a bezdin, it's a full-fledged bezdin. Whether you like it or not, you're bound to listen to them. Right? If you're making a compromise, meaning it's not really a court, it's arbitration. So if it's arbitration, why does Rav Meir say you need three to make it like an official bezdin? Why doesn't he make it with two and make a kinyan? And then they're bound anyway. So the fact that Rav Meir doesn't say that shows that according to Rav Meir, you don't need to make a kinyan. But the Gemara says, Hilchasa, Pshara, Tzricha Kinyan, Pshara does need a kinyan. And therefore, even an arbitration court of three, you still need a kinyan for them to bind themselves to the legal decision.
Like pick up something?
What? Yeah, kinyan, whether they pick up a handkerchief, a pen, whatever it is, they pick
sign
up a kinyan.
Huh? You can sign also.
If they sign buying arbitration, it's also. But today, they usually do both, by the way. Mm-hmm. In the best, today, they make you sign a binding arbitration paper, and then they make a kinyan. The reason why they make you sign is very simple, because then if the guy later denies it, what do you have a proof? But they do both today. Okay, Tan Rabbanon, Rabbanon learned in a braith. Shem Shadin Bishleisha, just like a dentator, you need three judges, the Chatchila Tavad Dentator. The same thing, a compromise, arbitration, also needs three. And then the Gemara says another din. Nigmar adin, once the verdict is reached, okay, then then you cannot make a compromise anymore. Okay? So Rashi explains it like this, that if the din was ruled already, that means they gave out the verdict, you can't say, okay, I want to make a compromise. Yeah? So the Yishenim ask in Rashi, that's obvious. If the verdict is given out that I lose, of course I'm going to want to make a compromise, because I lost. So therefore they learn differently, and they learn that it doesn't mean that they made the verdict. This way, Rashi learns that they actually gave out the verdict of din. Then you can't make a compromise. Taisa says it can't be, because once you make a verdict, of course the guy's going to want to compromise. He lost.
But they can't.
Yeah, but why would I think he could? So therefore, Taisus learns, Nigma then means he didn't give out the verdict, though. It means, once the judges themselves discuss the case, and they came to a decision themselves. Not, they didn't tell the guy yet the verdict. They came to a decision themselves, then they cannot make a compromise. If one of the litigants say, oh no, we want compromise, the judge is not allowed to do it. You can only, that's why the din is, at the beginning of the din Torah, before it even starts, the Beis Din will ask the litigants, do you want din, or do you want pshara? What do you want? Sometimes they'll ask. But I'm saying, once the Dayanim in their mind ruled what they would rule, then you cannot make a pshara anymore. Okay? Vava midbeis all the way on top.
Even without telling them, yeah?
12. Second what?
Without telling them or anything.
Right.
In their mind.
Once the that's what the thesis is. Nigmar din, shvat digdiku b'din heitev. The only thing missing is to say, to mention the verdict. You're guilty, you're innocent. But they're all ready for that. Because obviously if they give the render the verdict, of course the guy's going to want to compromise. I mean, it's ridiculous to think. Why shouldn't he?
What's the reason that at this juncture they can't do a pshara? What's the reason for them this?
Do the compromise.
Because they already made the ruling.
But it's their mind.
Doesn't matter. That's what the chiddush of the Gemara is. They made, in their mind, they made the ruling. They came to a ruling
here. But if both litigants are ready to do pshara,
they cannot be impartial.
Then they can't anymore. Once the dayanim, we're going to see later in the Gemara, yeah? And before I take a din Torah, I have a right to say I don't want to take it. We're going to see today in the Gemara soon. Yeah? You and him come for din Torah to me. I say, you know what, I'm not interested in taking it. Either because I'm not interested, too political, one guy's a tough guy, I'm not interested, whatever. Yeah. Once I accept the din Torah and in the middle of the process, I can't back out of the din Torah anymore. I can't say, you know what, I changed my mind, I want out. Once you accepted it, they give a very interesting mashal of this. They say about Nasav and Ishmael. Before a pilot takes off, he has the right to say, you know, I'm not flying the plane. If he's in midair, the pilot can't say, oh, by the way, I changed my mind, I'm not flying the plane anymore. It's the same, okay, anyway. Then the Gemara says like this. Now the Gemara is going to talk about, should you compromise, should you not compromise, what's the story? It's for begin for a judge to make a compromise, even before the verdict. Okay? Now, not only that, whoever does a compromise, any judge, is a sinner. We'll see. And whoever praises a judge that does compromise, he's a blasphemer. It's like cursing God. This is what it says. The one, such a person who praises, you know, Beirach or Beitzeya, you praise a compromiser, near to Hashem, you're blasphemizing Hashem. He says, what do you have to do? Yikev hadin esahod. Let justice pierce the mountain. In other words, this Rabbi Elazar ben Asher basically says, in Torah law, let the Torah law pierce through a mountain. In other words, it doesn't matter. This is the din, there's no such thing as compromise.
The guy that does it is a sinner, the guy that praises.
Yes, that's what he says.
Blasphemer, the praiser, it gets a higher punishment than...
Yeah, correct.
In the past few weeks, we've been saying it's better to compromise.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Gemara's going out to different opinions if it's good or not. So the blazer, the son of Yisrael Lila, says he can't do it. And he says, Shenamat, where do you see that Yikov Adin Asahod? Let the din pierce through the mountains. The mishpat is God's judgment. So therefore, mishpat judgment is what the way to go. And it says, that's what Meshe Rabbeinu used to say, let the din pierce through the mountains. Aval Aaron, but Aaron HaKohen was different. Ayiv Shalom, Reidiv Shalom, Omeisen Shalom, Einodem L'Chavedei. And he made peace between man to man. The Torah of truth was in his mouth. And corruption was never found on his lips. B'shalom u'b'mishet holach iti. He walked with me with peace and uprightness. V'rabim heishim yavan. And he returned a lot of people from sin. In other words, Aaron and Moshe had two different styles. But Moshe Rabbeinu was the judge. Aaron wasn't. Moshe Rabbeinu was the dayan. Aaron wasn't the dayan. So Aaron Taka went out of his way to make peace. But Moshe Rabbeinu, that's why when Moshe Rabbeinu died, only the men cried. And when Aaron died, everybody cried.
So Aaron's way was to compromise?
Yeah. Shalom, the only way making peace is compromise.
Because in compromise, one of the parties are not happy either.
Well, the Mefarshim Rashi says over here an interesting thing. This that it says Yikev Adin Asahor is once they came to Beis Din. The second they come to Beis Din, even before they say the case, they say they come to Beis Din, you have to do what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Yikev Adin Asahor. Aaron hit them before they came to Beis Din. So Aaron, when he heard two people already arguing, he didn't wait for them to go to Beis Din. In other words, the Gemara is not saying that Aaron argued on Moshe Rabbeinu's opinion. That Moshe Rabbeinu said no compromise and Aaron made compromise. The Rishonim write, that's what he says. Aval Aaron, Tesis says, Kivin Shlohoye Dayan.
Different procedures.
Yeah, but this is what Tesis says. Some Rishonim learn differently. Tesis says, Aaron wasn't, that's what I said before. Aaron was a Dayan. Not a Dayan. So therefore, he was allowed to make compromise. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Dayan. He was not allowed to make. But somebody showed him learn a little bit differently. That before you come to Beis Din, even a Dayan can make a pshara. Once they come to Beis Din, then it's too late. Even if you didn't hear the case yet, whatever. Okay. Then it says, Ubetseya Beirach Nietz Hashem. The Gemara gives a different meaning of this one, that one who praises a compromiser is blaspheming Hashem. And this is a very famous Gemara, all over many places in Shas.
Is it Rabbi Eliezer?
Rabbi Eliezer, yeah, but I just said B'tzei HaBeirach. Rabbi Eliezer, Eimer, Adishi Gozel, Sa Shochitim, if somebody steals wheat, V'tachana, V'afa, and he ground it, and he baked it, V'hifish men chala, and he separated chala. So the question is, Ketzin Mevarech, what bracha does he make? Okay? How do you make the bracha? And there's just two things in the Rishonim. Some say, how do you make the bracha for separating challah? And some say, what bracha do you make on the bread? So the Gemara says, Ein zeh mevarech chala menai. It's not only you're not blessing God, you're cursing Him. V'al zeh nemer b'tzeh beirach ni etz Hashem. Meaning, a person who's a thief and blesses Hashem, not only are you not making a bracha, not only are you not blessing Hashem, you're cursing Him. Because you're making fun of Hashem. You see, what I'm doing, I'm thanking you for going against you. And that's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, by the way. If you steal, one second. If you steal food, you're not allowed to make a bracha on it. If you eat something, no, that's two things. One second. If I steal kosher food, yeah, you can't make a bracha. If you trade for food, you also can't make a bracha. Both things.
Because
not only is a bracha, the Gemara is saying even more than that. Not only is it not a bracha, it's a curse. It's a big difference between. So, number one, it's a bracha about what?
Is that it's better to steal a non-kosher food?
It's a double word. Double. Even if you don't steal non-kosher food, you can't say bracha. So, if you steal a non-kosher food,
what's the connection with Aaron and Moshe?
No, the Gemara is just quoting that pasuk that we said before, the one who blesses a compromiser is.
I know, but it has to do with Aaron. What does that have to do with Aaron?
No, it's not. This is not about him. It's a different meaning.
Isn't there an exception for two men that are gay that you want to be people shame for them?
What? Yeah. The mayor, Eimer, the mayor says, Leinamer Beitzeya Ela Keneged Yehuda. Okay? The word Beitzeya is only referred to Yehuda. Why? Because when Yehuda, remember the brothers threw Yosef into the pit, and then Reuven left. And then the Yishmaelim came. So Yehuda said, what are we going to gain by keeping in a pit? Let's make some money. Let's sell them. Right? And they sold them and he ended up in Egypt. So it says, the Meir, Eimer, Leinamer, Beitzeya, Ela, Keneged, you're only about Yehuda. Shinema, Vayuda, Yehemi, Yehuda, Ela, Ochov, Mabetz, Ekinari, Gesachinu. What are we going to gain by killing our brother? So therefore, the Meir says, Yehuda. Whoever blesses Yehuda for what he did, that's when you were, in other words, because Yehuda did something wrong by selling Yosef, so if you praise him, then you're also called cursing Hashem, blasphemizing Hashem.
Yehuda made a mistake.
He made, of course he did a sin.
So better to kill him?
Huh?
Better to let him kill him?
No, but you can't praise him.
What does Botzeh mean? Well, I mean, it means different things?
Botzeh? Yeah. Beitzea actually means compromiser.
Compromise? So but does it need to break also?
The Rebbe spoke, when you know the Miftzoim? Uh-huh. The Miftzoim, the mitzvah campaigns? So the root of the word miftza is betza. Yeah? When the Miftzoim started many years ago, the Rebbe said by Febrengen, that betza, Beit Tzadik Ayin, brought down its forum, is the second letter of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Betza, the second letter of Avram is a Beit, the second letter of Yitzchak is a Tzadik, and the second letter of Yaakov is an Ayin. And the Rebbe, I remember what the Rebbe said, but it was a long time ago. The Rebbe said then that the concept of Miftza is connected to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. I mean, he brought down the Nsorim. It says the Betza is the second letter of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov.
That's an A?
No, Betza. That's Betza. This is Betza. Beis Tzadik Ayin.
Well, Betza, it means to break. No?
No.
Betza?
No.
Split.
Bread?
No,
the context is split. Siyas breaking. Yeah, but it means tearing off. It's also separated, but there's a different meaning of it. It means campaign also.
In this context of Yehuda, it's an advantage. What advantage is there?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying, but that's why Mar says, but it's the Gezer Shava. That's what it says. But Tzei Aber, Nir Tzashem, is concerning Yehuda. Okay, if German Kachay, Mir Bishon Kachay says, Mitzvah Liftzeya, it's a mitzvah to make a compromise. Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, says it's forbidden. And what's his name? Rabbi Yishuv and Korcha says mitzvah l'vtzeya. Shenema, because it says emes u'mishpat shalom shiftu b'sharechem. Emes, okay, truth and judgment shiftu b'sharechem. You should judge in your gates. So the Gemara says Ali b'makom sheyesh mishpat ein shalom, u'b'makom sheyesh shalom ein mishpat. The Gemara says this pasuk doesn't make sense. It says, "Emes and Shalom, you should judge in your gates." Now we know when there's a din, one's right and one's wrong. There's no Shalom.
Somebody's upset.
Right. So how could it say Emes? I mean, Emes umishpat Shalom shiftu b'sharechem. If it's Emes, it's not Shalom. How do you get this? So he says, "Ela eiz umishpat sheyesh b'shalom." What judgment does have peace? When you make a compromise. Compromise means both sides are either angry or not angry. At least they're the same. That means a compromise. V'chein b'David o'eim eso by David HaMelech Ataka says, V'yi David eise mishpat tzedakah. David HaMelech did mishpat and judgment and tzedakah righteousness. So again, the Gemara says, B'makim sheyesh mishpat ain't tzedakah, tzedakah ain't mishpat. Al eise mishpat sheyesh by tzedakah, what that type of judgment has righteousness, that's a compromise. So therefore, Rabbi Shuvan Korcha says, not only is it forbidden to do it, it's a mitzvah to do it. So the Gemara says, Asin l'tanakama, but l'cheira, according to the Tanakama, meaning Rabbi Lezer, the son of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who says it's forbidden to compromise, okay, what happens now, if that, according to him, Sigmar says like this, Donis Adin, he says, L'cheira, the Blazer Ben Yaakov says, you're not allowed to compromise. Right? So how did David HaMelech compromise? The Gemara brings a proof from a pasuk that David HaMelech compromised. But according to the Blazer, the son of Yesa Gliel, who says it's forbidden to compromise, how did David HaMelech compromise? So he says like this, well, David HaMelech is like this, Donis Adin, David HaMelech judged the judgment. Because he has to interpret the pasuk Mishpat to Tzedakah different. Because Mishpat means din, Tzedakah means compromise. How did he do both? So Gemara says, no, he didn't do compromise, according to that opinion. What he did was like this. Donis HaDin, David HaMelech judged the case. Zika Sekazakai V'chayiv V'sachayiv. He innocent, the innocent, and guilty, the guilty. And then he said, "V'rosh in eschayv ani mamamin." And then David HaMelech realized the one he obligated to pay is a poor man. What did he do? V'shilim lemi beisei. David HaMelech gave him the money to pay the judgment that he just lost. And that's what it says, mishpat utzdaka. He did mishpat lazeh, utzdaka lazeh. He gave, so the Gemara first, according to Rabbi Shuvan Kocha, means judgment and compromise. Right, that he did. Here the Gemara says, no, David HaMelech only judged, didn't, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're not allowed to do a compromise. So what does it mean, mishpat utzdaka by David HaMelech? He made the ruling, and then if he saw if the loser was poor, he gave him the money from his house. Mishpat, what was the judgment? Mishpat lazad, the judgment, shehichzel imamin. The one that was proven right got his money back. That's the judgment, that he got his money back. Utsdaka lazad, sheshilim limitel basi. And the tzedakah is that he gave him, the poor guy had it, he gave tzedakah to him to pay his debt. What?
To call it shara shalom, I mean, the thief is getting off the hook. Say somebody stole from somebody else, and they want to make it shara.
But at least both sides are happy.
One guy, I mean,
or unhappy.
The Gemara you have, the Gemara in Bab Metzia is a different thing. The Gemara says a story. Argument between Rabbi Yisrael and the Chachamim. It's a famous Gemara in Bab Metzia. All the kids know this. If you go to yeshiva, the first year Gemara. Two people give somebody $300 to watch. In other words, you take in a bag, I give you 200, you give him 100, give you the $300 to watch. Yeah? Then, we come later, and I say, no, I gave you 200. He says, no, I gave you 200. Right? So, one of us gave you 200, one of us gave you 100. So you have $300. Now we both come to you and say, no, I gave you 200, I gave you 200. So what do you do? So the Chachamim say, very simple, give each one 100, because that's given, right? That's understood. And the third 100, Yehemunach Hatshiyov Eliyo, put away until Eliyo Navi comes and he'll decide what to do. So Amar Rabbi Yisi, Imkei Mahifse Daramai, what does the liar lose? The liar is not going to lose anything. So what is Rabbi Yisi? Or Dalach is not like Rabbi Yisi though. Everything goes away until Eliyahu Navi comes.
Same thing.
No, right, similar to what we're talking here. But according to Rabbi Yisi, all the money is put away.
So everybody's the liar, unhappy.
Everybody's unhappy. No, that's going to, according to Rabbi Yisi, it's going to force the liar to admit. They tell a story that a guy once found a wallet in the street. And he was an honest guy for a change, and he took the money. He found the owner, it was a name in the wallet, and he gave it back to the owner. The wallet had $500. Okay? So the owner gets back his wallet, he thinks, oh, let me make a thing. He says, you're a ganef, there was $1,000 in the wallet. You're a ganef, there's $1,000. He said, if I be a ganef, would I give back anything? What are you talking about? No, you're a ganef, you have to go back. Okay. So he went to the Rav. The Rav listens to both sides of the story. The Rav is a smart guy. He says, okay, I hear your story. You know what? I believe you both look like honest people to me. I believe both of you. I believe you had $1,000 in the wallet, and I believe you found a wallet with $500 in it. So obviously it's not your wallet. So obviously it's not your wallet, because you had a wallet of 1,000 and he found a wallet of 500. Okay, so it's not you, you can keep the money. So the guy realized, okay, no, I was a liar.
No, he's
left. Okay, Vaitet.
Who holds on to the money?
Bezdin. Bezdin. Okay, one second. Kashile, Rabbi asked the question. Hai l'chol ami. It says by David HaMelech that he did Tzedakah mishpat l'chol amai, to the whole nation. L'chein, it was only to poor people he did it, that he paid from his house. So how can l'aniyam ibayli? It should have said he did tzedakah mishpat to poor people. So obviously David HaMelech did this to everybody.
No.
whoever the judgment was, I mean, who were he been against?
But it doesn't matter. It was
doesn't matter. Who has the
according
money?
To the pasuk, he said he did tzedakah mishpat for everybody. According to this explanation, he only did it for poor people.
If you want to take somebody to Beit Din,
no,
and you know that for sure you're going to win.
No such thing.
But you let it go. Is that the right thing to do?
Yeah, it's said many tzaddikim used to do that. Okay. Yeah, but then people take advantage of you.
That's why I'm asking this question.
Then you're a fool.
I know that.
I don't mean you. I mean the one that does it. If you do it, then you're a fool, yeah.
But you said the tzaddikim did it.
Tzaddikim weren't taken advantage of. Ella, so the Gemara says, the Rabbi learns the difference. Not that David HaMelech paid to the poor person from his house, because then it said he did tzedakah bishpat for poor people. What does it mean? Even though he didn't pay, he's a mishpat to tzedakah. Okay? He did tzedakah to mishpat and tzedakah even though he didn't pay. How could it be mishpat to tzedakah? He says like this. Mishpat lezeh, the one that won the court case, the mishpat is because he got his money back. Utzedakah lezeh, listen to this, the way Rabbi learns it. What's the tzedakah David HaMelech did to the loser? Not that he paid him. He didn't give him any money. The righteousness, the favor David HaMelech did to the loser was, he made him pay up the stolen money that he would have stolen. If he's obligated to pay, that means the money belongs to the other guy. And if he keeps the money, he's a ganef. So by taking the money from the loser to give it to the winner, he did the poor person a favor. It's like, by the way, this is a very interesting thing. When fundraisers ask people for money, they need to understand one simple thing. When you take money from somebody, you're doing him a favor.
Absolutely.
He's not doing you a favor.
He should thank you.
He should thank you. Because you're giving him the opportunity to do a mitzvah. And that's what David HaMelech did. He wasn't a fundraiser. David HaMelech did something else. David HaMelech did mishpat that this guy got his money back, that he's owed, and tzedakah that the guy that was supposed to pay, by ending up to pay, he took and made sure the money, he didn't keep stolen money anymore, because if he's obligated to pay and he doesn't pay, so then he's stealing money. Okay? And now the Shem ben Manasseh says like this. Shnayim shebala fenecha ledin. If two people came to a bezdin for din, he says, actually, tishma divreihem, before you heard their statements, oy mishetishma divreihem, or even if you did hear the statements, but yata yadei lehichem dinaiti, you don't know where the din is going, you don't know how to rule, ata shoy leimar, you can tell them, su'u ubitsu, go and make a compromise. This is similar to what Gemara just said before. Mishatishma divrehem. Once you heard their words, the conflict. Ba'atu yedei lehechanat dinaita, and you know where the din's going to. I'atu reshoi lehmanam tzuvitzu. You cannot tell them to make a compromise. That's what the Gemara said before. Before they come to you, you can compromise. Once they come to you, yikav adin asahar. So he says, shenema, because where do we see this from? Pray to mayim, one who releases water, meaning a dispute. Medesh is more than the answer of the judgment. But v'lefnei is galod even the tesh. But before the dispute is revealed, abandon it. Meaning, before you hear the case, you're allowed to say, go make a pshara. Once you know where the case is heading, then you cannot do any more compromise. I mean, any compromise, you have to yikav adin asar.
From what from pshara to din? If they come for compromise, then you
have to do pshara.
So both ways.
Because you're a mekabel kinyan. Yeah, but that the Gemara doesn't matter. That's not. And he says, kedim shin is galariv. Before it became clear what the fight is about, after yochel and notchay, you can abandon it. Mishin is galariv. Once the dispute is revealed, meaning you understand where the story is going, you cannot abandon it. Meaning, then you have to do din, you cannot do pshara. Then, Reish Lakish, another interesting thing. Shnayim shebo'o ledin.
Who's Reb Shimon ben Manasseh? Who's an Amora?
Yeah. What are you talking about? He's in Pirkei Avos.
Yeah.
I'm in Perek Shishi. I'm in Abshim Menasi Elu Sheva Midas Kulam is Kaima Berebiu Bavanov. The 7 meters about who the scholar is. Shimba Manasi Emer, those are replies to Rebbe and his kid.
Colleague of Rebbe?
No, he was afterwards.
But after Rebbe, there was
no... Is it like a Talmud of Rebbe?
But he was still a Talmud?
As he's mentioned in Mishnah, obviously he's a Talmud. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Amir Rish Lakish, Amir Rish Lakish says like this. Shnaim Shebol Adin. This is a very practical din, by the way. Echad rach v'echad kosher. One's a nice guy, one's a mamzer guy. Ashley tishma divreihem. Before you hear the case, oimish tishma divreihem v'yato yedei lechen adin neito. You heard the case, so you don't know where you know which direction the din's going. After the shoyleimem, the judge can tell them ain ani niskek lechem. You know what? I don't want to sit in this case. Why? Shemin, because the judge says shemin is chayiv chazok. Maybe the harsh guy will be found guilty. The name's the Chazer Gofen, he's going to harass him.
But he's already judged.
Huh? No. He heard the case, and he doesn't have in his mind yet where the din's going.
Right, but he's already judged.
Doesn't matter. That's what Rish Lakish is... No. Rish Lakish is saying, as soon as I hear the case, and before I think in my mind who's guilty and who's innocent, I could say I don't want to hear it. Ma mishetish medevrayem. But when you hear the case, v'at yidei le'echen adin noita, and you know already where the din's going. The din is iato yochalehem. You're not allowed to tell them any niskeklam. I don't want to get involved. Why? Shenamale segurim if neish. The pasuk says, "Do not be afraid of anybody." Kamishpat lalakimhu. And the Torah says the judge is not allowed to be afraid of anybody, even though he could be standing. He's judging the biggest mamzer and the corrupt, you know, individual in the world. Once you started involvement in the case, that the Gemara learns, what does that mean? You heard the complaints, and you already formulated in your mind which way it's going, then you must sit on it. You cannot back off it.
So why not, if you hold based on this passage, why don't you lachachila judge it? Don't be scared of anyone.
Because it says that's only when you're in mishpat lalakimhu. Once you're in a mishpat, you can't do it. I'm not mukhif to take the case.
You're not scared to take it.
Yeah, but he said you shouldn't be scared. He said once you're in the din, once you're in mishpat, then elokim hu. Then, but if I'm not in the mishpat, I don't have to take it.
So it shouldn't affect the judge. Somebody is nice or somebody is hazak. It shouldn't affect
mafia.
Right, but they don't want to stand up with the mafia. Any rav that sits on din teiris, when they're asked to sit on din teiris, they don't take a lot of cases.
Because it is.
What do I need it for? The hassle, this and that, it's political.
If you had the police department behind you, or, you
know. No, it's not.
So what happens?
Not with from Jews.
So they go
to. See, I don't. So they go to somewhere else. So they go to somebody else.
Oh, another Dean Torah?
Yeah, they can't go to court. So no, you can't go to court.
So nobody's going to take them. I mean, this is the Dean.
Doubt that you'll find people will take.
How about this situation? I
mean, good publicity, good attention, you know, it doesn't matter. People like attention. People do anything for attention. What?
The situation with the book, the stolen Lubavitch book, did it go to the Beit Din or directly went to court?
No, the Rebbe sent it first to Beit Din.
Sure, he did.
Sure.
So now what did the Beit Din know?
The Beit Din belongs to the Rebbe. Yeah, of course.
And he didn't obey.
Even when the guy was stealing the books from upstairs, the Friedrich Rebbe's house, the first one to Beis Din. The Rebbe sent it to Beis Din first. Okay, the Pshuah ben Korcha says, Minayin l'tamid shiyeshiv from the Rabbi. How do I know that a Talmud that sits in the presence of his Rebbe, and we learned before, a Talmud is not allowed to make halachic rulings in the presence of his Rebbe. V'roz chus la'ani, v'chay v'la'oshir, and he sees a merit for the poor man and something of the guilty for the rich man. How do I know he's not allowed to be quiet and just say, okay, you know, out of respect to my teacher, I don't want to mix in. He says, okay? He says, what does it mean? Don't withhold your words because of anybody. You know, there's a very interesting din also along the same lines over here. And that is, well, this we mentioned last time. There's a din that the Talmud is not allowed to make a halachic ruling in the presence of his Rebbe. Correct? But if somebody is sinning, you could stop him from sinning. You have an obligation to stop somebody from sinning and tell them you're not allowed to do it, even though you're making a ruling in the presence of your Rebbe, but that doesn't apply when you're stopping somebody from doing an Aveda. Instead, that doesn't apply. Or, b'makom sheyesh chilul Hashem. If there's chilul Hashem, the Gemara says, ein chol kin kavod afilu l'rav. Then you don't give kavod even to a Rav. But here he says that if Talmud, even though he's not allowed to make a halachic ruling, but he knows there's a schus for one, and he has to open his mouth.
What if somebody doesn't understand English and they want to speak in Farsi?
Who?
And you know if you don't answer them, they're going to give it up.
I know what you're talking about. Speak English.
Let's say you're
for me,
here.
Speak English, not Farsi.
No. Let's say you're here, and somebody is here asking a question. And he's asking in Farsi. And I know if I don't answer him, he's not going to come to you and ask you. And the opportunity is lost.
It's a positive thing or a negative thing?
Both.
Huh?
It's a question.
So you go and ask Rob, then you can translate it.
He will give it up. He will step up. But the opportunity is gone.
Then you probably could. Okay, then it says like this. Gemara continues and says, this is all part of a braisa. The witnesses need to know whom they are testifying about, meaning Hashem. Okay? Because what are witnesses doing? They're revealing what really happened that Hashem knows, but what Hashem knows we don't know. So the witnesses say basically what Hashem knows. And in whose presence they're testifying. Who's going to eventually punish them for lying? So therefore the Gemara says the witnesses need to know, don't lie in court. Don't lie in court because you're in the presence of Hashem. Hashem knows what you're testifying. Hashem knows before whom you're testifying, and don't do it. And he says, "V'yadayanim yedin es mihem dayanim," and the judges need to know who are they judging. They're judging Hashem. "Lefnei mihem danim," and who are they judging in front of? Hashem. "U'miyasid lipar mehem," and who's going to punish them for lying? And it says, "Shenamad." Hashem stand in the presence of a community of judges.
There's no swearing or anything like that in Bethin, is there?
Sure there is. Not nowadays, but sure there is.
There's swearing?
Mm-hmm. There's biblical shvuos, rabbinic shvuos. There's three biblical shvuos. Are you kidding? They spooked the room, they darkened the room, and they wore black clothing. They scared the heck out of the guy. And before a guy swore, they said, "Do you know that when God said not to swear in my name falsely, right?" The world trembled, and just be careful, you know, who you're swearing in front. They spooked the room. Then there's rabbinic shvuah, like shvuah sesis. Now they don't do it.
They don't tell them about this.
Oh, they tell me, you know. But they don't make a person. The litigants don't swear today in court.
Even in Jewish court?
What?
Not even in Jewish Beit
Din? Today in Bezdin, people don't swear.
Don't swear?
If a Jewish going to the court and they're reading the Bible, you should put it that, as you say?
You have to affirm, it says. You say, "I affirm." That means I promise what I'm saying is true, but you're not allowed to swear.
In Iran, people would just go and swear on the...
People swear a whole day. I swear to God. So they're lying a whole day.
You're raising your hand. You say, "I affirm."
Yeah. Or you say you don't even have to raise hand. They get today. They let you because of religious reason. Let you affirm.
Is that the reason? Isn't this the reason many of the from people don't go to betting, even if they are right, because they don't want to swear?
Today in Bezdin you don't swear. In Bezdin you don't swear today.
In the olden times.
In the olden times, yeah. People didn't want to swear in Bezdin, even if they knew they were right, and they wouldn't be swearing falsely, but just the concept of the swear, a shvu, with Hashem's name in it, they didn't do it. Like the marshal. If I say you owe me $1,000, and you deny it, and there's no that documents, no witnesses, no nothing, yeah? So normally, the burden of proof is on me to prove, right? But the Gemara says, normally people just don't go around saying, you owe me money. So therefore, the Chacham say, you have to swear a rabbinic oath. It's called Shavuot Tzitzis, which according to many Rishonim was instituted in the time of Rav Nachman in the Gemara. Some people say it came earlier, but most people say it was Rav Nachman in the Gemara, instituted Shavuot Tzitzis. You have to swear that you don't owe me the $1,000. And then, if you don't owe me the $1,000, you swear that you're off the hook. Okay? So many people, somebody came to me, you owe me $1,000. Yitaka didn't owe me the $1,000. And he could have gone to Bezdin and swear. He was willing to pay the $1,000 not to have to swear.
Hesed, you
know. Huh?
Shuvat Hesed.
They didn't want to swear. Shuvat Hesed, no?
But that's the Rabbah.
So, but still, saying Hashem's name.
It's the same thing. They don't spook the room,
no. But they would rather not swear than, even though they knew that they don't owe the money. They're not lying, and you know, why should they pay the... They would rather just give the money rather
when
than swear.
When did this practice stop? Not swearing.
But it didn't last a few hundred years.
There's no statement or anything to tell both litigants that you're in presence of Hashem, you're not supposed to...
Lie.
Lie, this, that.
So then they would both go home. They said, we're both lying. Who are you? What?
The false witness is it has to be in the court only or just between friends also.
I don't hear you.
The false witness is only in court or between friends or some.
You're not allowed to test their faith falsely anywhere.
Anywhere.
You're not allowed to lie anywhere. Even in Goyish court, you're not allowed to lie.
Even to your wife?
That's a different story. That's Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh, you can lie.
So up to about before Alter Rebbe time, they used to do
probably after Alter Rebbe also did Shavuot Tzitzis. What?
What if a guy... He doesn't know the money, but he didn't want to swear, so he paid it. If people found out about that.
Okay, so then, you know. Some batidinim today, if the guy's mochiv is shua sessus, he doesn't, the bank compare, I think it's a third. But most places don't even do that. No, but Bezdin is serious stuff. Okay, this is an ishtasav. Chemi yeshava to emet. Ve'yemer ha-sheitim, he said to the judges, Ru mata atam esim, look at what you're doing. Ki lei Allah adam tispetu, you're not judging man, ki im Hashem, you're only judging Hashem. Shenema yemer ha-dayin, so a dayin can come along and say, Mali betzara zeh, what do I need this problem of judging? Maybe I'll make a mistake and I'll get punished. This is a very important statement of the Gemara. A judge does not have to be afraid. A judge can say like this, I'm judging God, I make a mistake, I'm going to suffer for it. Right? So, you know, why should I need this headache of being a judge? So it says, don't worry about it. A judge can only go by what his eyes see. In other words, you take the facts, you do the best, and if you do your best, you're not punished. A judge can only go by what he sees, and therefore, that doesn't go by what he doesn't see.